Guys, what's going on? Welcome back to another wonderful episode of the Arsenio's ESL podcast. Man, I am so excited about today's version. Oh my God, what a wonderful coaching session. You know, one of my students from Peru, you know, she ended up taking a test on ETS and she scored very, very low. And I'm like, dude, that doesn't make any sense. So we ended up looking at her, you know, she ended up saying, Arsenio, I would like to have, you know, get a couple, you know, buy some more coaching hours and I want to do some coaching on reading. And I said, okay, yeah, no problem. Let's do it. And after literally just an hour and a half from the day before in this session right here, it is phenomenal to see how she analyzes the questions and how she breaks things down. This, again, it's all about double downing on what you are very, very good at rather than what you're not very good at. And this is exactly what we did. Guys, this is a fiery one, all right? And if you are, again, if you're viewing this or you're listening to this right now, remember to go to my website, thearseniobuckshow.com. If you guys would like to watch the exclusive video, it's on my membership. All right. And so the membership is 2 days free. Remember, $50 a month. And within those 2 days free, you get free independent essay review and an integrated essay review. So if you're interested in that, let me know. Webinars coming up all weekend. So you make sure you email, subscribe, follow me on IG, Arsenio's ESL podcast. And man, guys, sit back, enjoy it. If you want to practice your listening, if you want to write some things down, how we're able to break it down, etc., etc., or if you would like to have the reading by yourself, it will be available on my blog, thearseniobuckshow.com. Okay, so until then, here we go.
For this, okay, so here we go. Grass is on the prairie. Now, both you and I know, number one, what trauma means.
Damage.
That's right. Trauma means damage. Boom. Easy. Hey, this is not bad. We're doing pretty good right now. We're one for one right now. All right. So, oh God, here we go. These are the crazy questions. Okay. So in paragraph one, why does the author mention ridges and hairs? So we have to look for the first mention of ridges and hairs. Oh my God. I'm trying to look for it. Ridges. Oh God. All right. Damn. Oh, here we go. I found hairs. Oh, okay. Here we go. Ridges and hairs. But you see a hyphen, so that could be a definition. And there are no periods in this sentence. They got to do better. Oh, here we go. Man, I don't know what these Chinese folks be doing on this website. Okay, what's more, the surfaces of these reduced leaves are often modified, corrugated with ridges or covered in hairs, so that the wind can't sweep across the surface and draw out moisture. So why does the author mention this? Ridges and hairs. It says to argue that these characteristics are not found on a larger leaf, on larger leaf surfaces. The roughened surface holds a thin layer or humid air next to the leaf, and thus, yeah, I don't like A. B, to identify additional characteristics that help leaves conserve moisture. Okay, so that the wind can't sweep across the surface and draw out moisture, conserve moisture. Ooh, that could be good. I kind of like B. Let's look at C, to indicate the possible locations of stomata. Really? Grasses are protected from the strava by having a reduced number of stomata, not locations. No, thank you. See, get the hell out of here. D, to provide examples of types of reduced leaves. Ooh. So what do you think, Miss Elena?
The answer, of course, is with leaves.
Is what?
With leaves, A or D, for example.
You think A or D is the answer?
Yes, because of the word leaves. Because in the paragraph,
the surfaces of these reduced leaves, but in D it says to provide examples of different types of leaves. Okay. Okay, now me, I'm going to go with B. I'm going to go with B because it says characteristics that helps leaves conserve moisture. Here it says, so that the wind can't sweep across the surface of the leaf and draw out the moisture. So these ridges and hairs, they use these to conserve the moisture so that wind can't sweep across and take out the moisture. That's me. I don't know. I could be wrong. I could be wrong, but let's see. But what about you? You said A or D.
Larger leaves. Well, but A, it doesn't mention the size of the leaves surface.
Boom. Thank you very much. That was a good one. Process of elimination. I love it.
They don't mention also the types of leaves.
B must be the answer. Boom. You see what I mean? I love it. I love your process of analyzing. Is that a word? Analyzation? The way you're able to analyze the information now, this is the most important characteristic. I don't care about win-loss. I care about how you're able to cut out some of these answers. Now, it didn't talk about the size of leaves. It didn't talk about the different types of leaves. See, so you're like A, no, D, no. And especially they didn't speak about the locations.
Mm-mm. Of some stomata.
Stomata. Yeah, stomata. Good. Okay. All right. A. Okay, that was good because you were like, it has to be A or D. But then you looked at it closely. You said, okay, wait, this doesn't mention that and it doesn't mention this. That's all I care about right now. So that's good. All right. Okay, what is the dilemma mentioned? Ooh, the dilemma. The dilemma. Okay, here we go. Prairie grasses resolve this dilemma. So that means the dilemma is before. Okay, so what I'm going to do. Why aren't the stomata kept tightly close to seal moisture inside the leaf? The reason, here we go, is that the stomata also supplies plants with fresh air for photosynthesis. If plants sealed their stomata, this life-sustaining process would come to a halt or for lack of carbon dioxide. But if the stomata are thrown wide open, the plants risk death due to the loss of moisture through gaping valves. So how prairie grasses resolve that problem was by strategic scheduling. So what is the dilemma? So here we go. A, it says prairie plants need to be close to each other, but the more plants there are in an area, the more difficult. It did not mention any of that. It did not mention anything about proximity. B, plants open the stomata to let energy in from the sun. That's true, but this sometimes leads to a buildup of too much carbon dioxide. Let me hurry up and find carbon dioxide. Okay, if the plant sealed their stomata, not open, if they sealed it, this life-sustaining would come to a halt for a lack of carbon dioxide. In B, it says too much carbon dioxide. No, B is out. You see how we break those questions down? Good, so we got C and D. When plants open their stomata, they lose water. Hold on. No, it says when they open. Oh, hold on. Why aren't, okay, the reason is stomata are with fresh air. If plants are sealed, but if the stomata are wide open, the plants risk death due to the loss of moisture. Okay, they lose water, correct. But they keep them closed, they cannot collect carbon. C is the answer. When plants open their stomata, that's right. And it says here, if they seal it, they're going to have a lack of carbon dioxide. C, answer. Good. Now, hey, both you and I are getting very good at this. We're on fire right now. Let's go. I'm loving it. Fuck the summary questions, though. I don't care about that. Okay, so here we go. Let's go to number four. Ooh, stockpiled. Not needed is negative. Inactive is negative. Invalid is negative. C is produced. is stockpiled being used in a positive or negative connotation? Here we go. By mobilizing the energy that was stockpiled earlier in the day, here we go. This is our explanation. The leaf uses this carbon dioxide to manufacture the sugars and other molecules that it needs for growth. Is that positive? Is that sentence positive? Because if it's positive, C is the only answer that's positive, produced.
Because the others are negative. Okay, see?
There it is. That's how we do it. Excellent. Fantastic. You see that? Not needed is negative. So the vocabulary term would have to be used in a negative. Shit, I don't know. And then invalid is negative. D is inactive. Those are all negatives. There was one positive. And stockpiled, if this happens, they will what? They will grow. Awesome. I'm telling you, hey, Elena, let's go get a 28 in reading. Go get it. Okay. All right. Good. Number five. Why does the author include the phrase "can be accomplished in total darkness"? Whoa. All right, here we go. It's what we just talked about. So I'm going to repeat what we said in the question four. By mobilizing the energy that was stockpiled earlier in the day, comma, the leaf uses this carbon dioxide to manufacture the goods and other molecules that it needs to grow, right? A process that can be accomplished in total darkness. Okay, so a leaf uses carbon dioxide, gets the molecules for growth. The result is that prairie grasses are partially nocturnal. Nocturnal means dark. That means they could grow in the dark. Is that what that is? Yeah, I think that's what nocturnal means. They do most of their growing at night. There we go. That's the definition. Yeah, it was right after that. They do most of their growing at night or in the early hours of the morning. Fantastic. Wait. A. To explain how prairie grasses are able to grow without losing a great deal of moisture? I don't know. Let's keep going. B. To emphasize the damaging effects that sun... There's no damage. Bye-bye. B. Get out of here. C. To point out how even a little bit of light can interfere with the plant's stability to collect carbon dioxide? D. To show that nocturnal growth is stimulated only after prairie grasses have collected moisture from the evening air. By mobilizing the energy that was stockpiled during the day, the leaf uses carbon dioxide to manufacture the sugars and other molecules that it needs for growth. So because it already has a lot of energy, it could grow at night without the sun because it has its energy. I would totally try to go with D. Because that's the one that makes the most sense, right? What do you think, Elena? See? Oh, you son of a bitch. We got it wrong, you motherfucker. God damn it. Okay.
Without losing a great deal.
Oh, well, yeah. Okay. A makes sense. They don't lose moisture because they already have a big stockpile of moisture. So to explain how prairie grasses are able to grow without losing a great deal of moisture. Again, I still don't know the great deal of moisture thing.
The word mentioned moisture.
Exactly. Yeah, honestly, I don't know. Maybe this could be wrong. You know the Chinese website, okay? I'm just saying. I honestly believe that D is the answer, no doubt. Okay, sorry. Let me hurry up and X that out real quick. Okay, all right. Yeah. So to be honest with you, I just, I think it's D. I just don't think that it's A. So I think the people on this website, the one, you know, because it's the Chinese website. Yeah, I don't think they know what the hell they're doing. No. I think it's D. Able to grow without losing a great deal of moisture. Well, it's not about them losing moisture. It's because they stockpile their moisture earlier in the day. This has nothing to do in regards to losing. I'm sorry. I think D is the answer.
Yes, because it mentioned praxair grasses that are on top, not in that.
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. We'll just take that one with the like a grain of salt. Okay. I think it's a bunch of BS, but it's all good. Oh, here we go. The whole except. I hate this one. According to paragraph 2, prairie grasses do each of the following during the night. Ah, during the night. We know what they do during the night. Okay, what is it? The leaf uses carbon dioxide to manufacture the, okay, a process that can be accomplished. Okay. They do most of their growing at night or the early hours. Collect and store energy.
That's in the day.
Yeah, that's in the day. Ooh, I think we might have found our answer already, because manufactured sugars, yes, they do it at night, correct? So by mobilizing the energy that was stockpiled earlier in the day, the leaf uses this carbon dioxide to manufacture the sugars and other... Yeah, so B is okay.
Open
the stomata. Gather carbon dioxide. The leaf uses this carbon dioxide. No. Ooh, they carbon dioxide during the day. No, I'm looking at this last sentence.
Carbon
it says,
dioxide is not on the night.
Well, here that's it says by mobilizing the energy. Yeah, go
that's
ahead.
That's why you don't need to sleep with plants, because they eliminate the carbon dioxide. I remember that of school.
Oh really?
Let's see.
What do you think?
It's except.
So there are three of them in which they do at night, but there's one that it does during the day. I think it's A. That's the only one. Because it says by mobilizing the energy that was stockpiled earlier in the day. It was stockpiled in the day, collecting and storing energy in the day. A, answer. There we go. Okay, good. You see, we were overanalyzing it. We were like, wait, hold on, gather car. Wait, hold on, stomata. I wasn't even going to try to look for the stomata. I did not care about the stomata. So, yeah, okay. Good. Very good. Very good, Elena. Okay. All right. Hey, we're 5 for 6 right now. Phenomenal. Ooh. We got a vocabulary question. Anchored. Anchored, extended, fed means food, given strength, held in place. Now, an anchor to a boat. Do you know that vocabulary term? Anytime you're out in sea with a yacht, a boat, sometimes you throw the anchor into the water, and what does it do with the boat? The boat doesn't drift. It doesn't go anywhere.
Held in place, D?
Correct, D. That's right. Held in place. Good. Anchored. So it says here, a 3-meter stand of big blue stem is anchored underground. A mass of coarse fibrous roots. So what do roots do? Do roots extend underground? Do they feed? Is fed underground? You can't feed a blue stem underground. You can't give strength underground. You can only hold in place, and you certainly cannot extend a 3-meter stand that's already been extended. You can't extend something underground. So that's how you could break down your answers.
Okay.
It's gonna rain again. Yeah, these clouds are getting big. Wow, rain season officially begins. Okay, so yeah, there you go. Does that make sense? So yes. What I do Elena, when I saw anchored, I said boat. You know what I mean? When I saw anchor, I'm like, boat. What does an anchor do for the boat? It makes sure that the boat doesn't drift. It makes sure that the boat's in one place, held in place.
Okay.
Fantastico. Ooh, hey, 6 for 7.
All the words I have to.
What happened? What do you mean? All the words. Hey, I have a book, by the way. I think one of my students had given me a book. So, and I think in that book, there's a lot of vocabulary, but honestly, you can't remember 1 million vocabulary terms. You just break down the sentence, look at the positive and negatives, and you're going to be able to eliminate everything. We are honestly like 100% on vocabulary terms, except what was the one yesterday, Elena? What was the word?
Fashion.
What was it? Fashion.
Fashion.
Oh, that one. And I remember I got one wrong and you got it right. Enhance? No. Oh, I forgot the term. There was one yesterday that I didn't get right. Yeah, I forgot what it was. So, yeah. Anyways, yeah. So, we have different types of terms and they throw us off. So, anyways, we do a very good job on that. That's our strong suit. Okay. According to paragraph number 3. Why do prairie dogs, ground squirrels, and other grassland creatures burrow underground? Okay, let's look for the first mention.
What is here? Burrow. Burrow.
Burrow, meaning go underground. Like some frogs. I have a frog out here in this yard. I believe during the day they burrow underground. Sometimes they come out. But I believe a toad. I'm not a biologist, but I believe that frogs are more nocturnal. I could be wrong, though. I could be totally wrong. But anyways, because they come out at night and they come out when it rains. One was just staring at me last night. It was just like, hey, what's up, dude? Yeah, it was crazy. But anyways, burrow means go underground. Now let's break this down. Why do they go underground? Prairie grasses also have another ingenious way of evading the demands of sun. Like many grassland creatures, there goes the list of what was mentioned, they take refuge underground. So honestly, A, to find grass roots to eat, B, to hide from predators, C, to look for water, D, to avoid the sun.
D.
I'm going D. Excellent. Oh, we're on fire. Oh, yeah, baby. We 7 for 8 right now. We are 7 for 8 right now. Good job. Oh, that other question. As a matter of fact, we're 8 for 8 because I don't believe that other thing. So, yeah. But good job. Fantastic. Whew, we're on fire, Elena. You're doing a great job. We are doing a great job. All right. According to paragraph number 3, what do people often not realize? Oh, God, this one. Not realize about grass. What do people not realize about grass? They take refuge under. What? Here we go. What, Elena, I found the sentence. What we think of as grass, the above ground leaves and stems, actually constitutes less than half of the organism. Between 60 and 80% of the plant by weight typically grows below ground. So we believe that the majority of the grass is above ground. A, much of the grass plant lives below ground. Not realize about grass. What do we not realize? Okay, hold on. I'm trying to get this negative. I'm going to get confused again. What do we not realize about grass?
A.
B, it says the heaviest part of the plant. Absolutely, there's no heavy plant. Okay, C, it's seed heads. Nope, didn't mention. Less than half of the grasses have above ground leaves. Nope. A, answer. Good job. Oh my God, Elena, I'm telling you. Oh, we are on en fuego. Oh, no, I mean on fire, meaning we're doing very good. I don't know, I forgot. Okay, so very good. We're doing great. Let's go into the next bit. Shit. Okay, here we go. All right, we're good. Paragraph 4 suggests that when there is plenty of water available in the soil grasses, okay, and what I'm going to have to do, I'm going to cut this little audio up video, and I'm going to put this on the membership exclusively, because I think a lot of people who are subscribed to the member, there are like six, maybe eight people coming in, well, not coming, but on right now. And I think they're going to understand a lot of things in regards to this nice little video that we're doing. So, okay. Anyways, here we go. When there is plenty of water available in the soil, grasses. Okay. Now, these extensive systems of roots push thirstily through the soil, intent on sucking up every available drop of water. But if the soil is very dry, as it is during periods of drought, the roots can't draw moisture to keep pace with losses from stomata. So it says here again, when there is plenty of water available in the soil, grasses, okay, I'm just making sure, these grasses, okay, here we go. Grasses respond by transferring their most valuable resources, including sugars and proteins, from their leaves into the roots and especially into their rhizomes, underground stems. So there is plenty of water available in the soil. Grasses, they don't do this, right? It's the opposite, right? But if the soil is very dry, as it is during long periods, what do grasses have to do? They respond by transferring. So if there is plenty of water available, grasses would not have to transfer any of their valuable resources, correct? So I think it's C, use as little energy as possible. Hold on, so let me say this one more time. There is plenty of water available in the soil. Oh man, this is a hard one. Okay.
No, because they pass the sugar and proteins to their from their leaves into their roots. So B is wrong.
That's right. Good.
D is wrong.
And A is totally wrong. I would have to say C. So A, lose many of their rhizomes. D, take in moisture mostly through the stomata. You already took that one out. Yeah, I'm totally going with C. What do you think?
Because of resources is the same as energy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, C.
Okay. Okay. All right, let's do this. C. C. What? Store sugars and proteins in their leaves? Let's look at this one more time. When there is plenty of water available in the soil, grasses... Oh, okay, so grasses respond by transferring sugars and proteins. Oh, duh. That's it. Okay, so when there's not much water, the grass transfers. If there is a lot of water, they keep the sugar and protein. But where does it say? Oh, yep. In their leaves, from their leaves. Yep, B. B is the answer. Yeah. Oh, damn. I should have looked at it a little closely. That's correct. Oh, you saw it. No, because you said from leaves to the roots, but you were looking at it from a different aspect of it. Yeah. God damn it. Okay. Oh, man, we were on fire too. We were 10 for 10. I'm not trusting that other answer, by the way. But oh, we were doing such a good job, but it's all right. We're going to keep it going. Number 11. Oh, God, here we go. I hate this one. Actually, I love it. Okay, so here we go. Number 11. Which of the sentences below best expresses the essential information in the highlighted sentence in the passage? Now, it says here, dead to the world, above ground withered and crisp, the plants live frugally below the surface, drawing on their cached supplies and biding their time until the weather improves. So above ground, it's really bad. But what happens, the plants would live below the surface using their supplies and just withering the time, keeping their time until the weather improves. So basically, this is like during a drought, they would live underground until the weather improves, and then they would go above ground again. Does it make sense? Yes. So in super crazy deserts, obviously sub-Saharan African countries, this is what I guess plants lack thereof, I guess, would do. Okay, so let's look. A, until the weather improves, the plant must grow many new leaves. Wrong. Nope, 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 nope. B, when the weather changes suddenly, the parts of the plants that are not protected by the ground may wither and die from the shock. We'll keep it there. We'll keep it. C, the plants still survive in underground will, when the weather improves, take the place of other plants that have died. Ooh. D, until the weather improves, plants that appear lifeless survive underground by using their stored supplies economically. I would totally go with D. B is like, ooh, maybe 30%. C was like, ooh, 65 to 70%. And D was like, oh, hell yeah, 100%. Answer D, baby. This is how you break it down. Okay, so when you look at it, Elena, okay, for everyone else who's possibly going to watch this on the membership, what you have to do, look at every detail. You saw how I spoke very slowly to make sure I understood every detail. I said, dead to the world, above ground, withered and crisp. The plants live frugally below ground. We don't know what frugally is, although I do. Frugally meaning very leniently, like don't spend too much. Like living a frugal lifestyle, a lot of Thai people are living it now due to the COVID restrictions. So they have to be very weary of how much they spend, correct? And then drawing on their cash supplies, meaning using their supplies and waiting until the weather improves. So then I could go into the answers and say, ooh, this one maybe, you know, 30%, okay? 60%, and then boom, 100. That's how you do it. I'm loving it. Good job, Elena. Number 12. Oh, hell yeah. That's the word, resilient. This is one of my favorite words. So let's look at the sentence. The amazingly resilient blue grama can survive from dormancy, become green, and grow on as little as 5 millimeters of rainfall. Okay, so the amazingly resilient blue grama can revive from dormancy, become green, and grow as little. So A, quick to recover. B, brightly colored. Now, we don't. It doesn't say anything about brightly colored. It just says become green. C, fast growing. Or D, complex. Complex is like confusing, like multiple things. I don't like B, I don't like D. So we have quick to recover and fast growing. I know what resilient means, so I know my answer, but what would you choose, Elena, A or C?
A.
Okay, me too, A, quick to recover. Correcto mundo, correcto. Oh my God, Elena, we are on fire. Do you understand? You're going to get like a 35 in reading, and that's not even possible.
I hope.
Oh, I'm telling you, you have to pray to Jesus. Jesus, dear Jesus. Okay, so here we go. Oh, I love this one. Okay, look at the four squares. Okay, now remember, general to specific, we got to see if there's some relativity involved too. We do very well on this, okay, as well as vocabulary questions, and as well as the one, like, you have to figure out the meaning of a sentence, right? So here we go. Leaf design, comma, then, comma, is valuable in moisture retention, comma, but it is not the only effective strategy. So what's being said before the sentence is something specific, because it says leaf design, comma, then, comma, is valuable in moisture retention. So something happens for leaf design to become valuable in moisture and retention. So that's what we have to look for. So let's break this down. A, the surface of the leaf and the stomata it bears, the greater the risk that the plant will lose too much moisture through evaporation and collapse.
And then it says leaf design, comma, then, comma, is valuable moisture retention. Well, no. I don't like A. That doesn't, there's no relativity to that. Let's keep it going. Grasses are protected from this trauma by having a reduced number of stomata and by the design of their leaves, which take the form of narrow blades. Leaf design, comma, then, comma, is valuable in moisture retention. Ugh, it didn't mention anything about moisture retention. I don't know. Okay, let's keep it coming. I love this one, though. Corrugated and ridges, or covered in hairs, hyphen, so that the wind can't sweep across the surface and draw out moisture. Leaf design, comma, then, comma, is valuable in moisture retention, but it's not the only effective strategy. The roughened surface holds a thin layer of, this is a hard one. I don't know, to be honest with you. Because D, it says, the roughened surface holds a thin layer of humid air next to the leaf and thus helps to reduce the evaporative demand or drying power of the atmosphere. It's talking about atmosphere. So D, I don't like D, I don't like A. Well, I see moisture. Draw out moisture. Oh, man. I would totally try to go with C. I don't know. Because it says that the wind can't sweep across the surface and draw out moisture. So what happens to the moisture? Leaf design, comma, then, comma, is valuable in moisture retention. I would totally go with C. I don't know. What do you think, Elena? What are you thinking of? Talk to me.
Moisture retention. If we talk about moisture retention, see.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. C. No, we got it wrong, you son of a bitch. No. That's impossible. Come on. It doesn't jar out the moisture. So what happens to the moisture? It's is valuable in moisture retention, but it's not the only effective strategy. Okay, so what's the next effective strategy? So if you say D, so you're telling me you're going to go, but it's not the only effective strategy. And if you use D, some grasses, comma, including Western wheatgrass, comma, June grass, blah, 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 roil up the edges, their leaves during times of drought to help keep their tissues from drying out. I don't know. But even looking at the sentence before that, leaf, what is it? Holds a thin layer next to the leaf and thus helps to reduce the evaporative demand or drying power of the atmosphere. How does that have relativity to do with leaf design? No, I'm sorry. No, because the surfaces of these reduced leaves are often modified. I think it's C. It's another one of those questions that are just like, I don't know if that's correct. I'm not going to give it the benefit of the doubt. I'm just going to say, you know what? I don't believe it too much. I don't know, Elena. No, because I normally always get these right. And what I'm looking for in this one is valuable in moisture retention, but it's not the only effective strategy. So, voila. And then it goes into, whatever, man. Okay. Okay, Elena, whatever. All right, let's keep it rolling. Oh, God, I hate this one. This is the devil. This is the devil. El Diablo. Okay. All right. Let's see what we got here. A, B, C, D, E, F. Okay. A, prairie grasses have developed broad, smooth leaves with plentiful stomata so that they are able to collect enough carbon dioxide to live in arid climates. That's A. B, prairie grasses close their stomata during the day to prevent the loss. No, B, that's too specific. So I would totally take out B. C, extensive underground root and stem systems allow prairie grasses to draw moisture from the soil and to store valuable resources away from the sun. Extensive underground root and stem systems? No, I remember anchored. I remember the anchor. I don't know about the extensive. All right, well, let's just keep it there. D, prairie grasses, abundant seed heads. Okay, no, absolutely not. Seed heads, windstorms, absolutely not. No, thank you. We didn't see any of that throughout this passage. So I'm going to go B and D out. And then we have E, prairie grasses depend on the tunneling abilities of their grassland creatures to loosen the soil and create room for grasses? Hell no. F, prairie grasses conserve energy during periods of drought by entering a period of dormancy. Correct. So I would say A, C, and F. I could be totally wrong, though. I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised, but I'm just looking at the summary questions with everything and the knowledge I have and going from there. So let me know what you think.
Yes, because in this lecture, it don't mention about windstorms.
Exactly.
It's also about creatures.
Creatures? There was no mention about creatures. Okay. So D and E, get the hell out of here. And then moisture and open them at night to collect carbon dioxide? Do they open them at night to collect? I don't even think that's real. I don't even think that's true. 3, 2, 1. Oh, we were so close. We got C and F, but we... B. What? Okay, but how is that one of the main ideas, though? I understand that it closes its car. I know I understand that it closes it, but how is that one of the main ideas? Broad, smooth leaves with plentiful stomata, so they are able to collect enough carbon dioxide to live in arid climates. Well, maybe I don't even know if that's true or not. So, yeah, maybe I didn't look that up, but we were kind of close, though. Hey, that was a good try, though. These summary questions, man, don't worry. I do believe at some point we're going to do a phenomenal job. I'm going to hurry up and stop this so we could do, like, two different videos.